There has never been a time, a period, to when God has not existed. Well, now, I don't understand that, preacher. Good. If you understood it, he would not be God. If you understood why anybody even loves you. You know, I just don't understand why they love me. Frankly, most of them don't understand why they love you either. But they just do. But God said, I love you because I am love. That's who I am. I am who I am, and I am love. And because I love you, I want you to know that you can worship me in spirit and in truth. Now, truth is the name given to his son, Jesus. Jesus is also called the Word. Jesus is the Word. Now, for those of you who have never read Scripture, and in our listening audience, I'm sure there are multitudes. When you set your mind and your heart, or you come under that conviction to read the Word of God, I want you to start with the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And then you can read 1 John, 2 John, and you can go on and from there with the Scripture. But the first book that I want you to read is the Gospel of John. In that Gospel, where you find John 3:16, you find anything and everything you will ever need to know about how much God loves you. You will find out the answers to life. Well, preacher, why do I read anything else then? A lot of people don't. A lot of people won't even read the Gospel of John. But you see, the more you read about God's love, the more you want to understand the next book. And the next book, you want to understand the history that God has given us here on planet Earth. Because you want to grow in your relationship with Christ. But you have to start somewhere. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, right in the beginning we have, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. John 1:1. And the Word was God. God said, I've created you. I see the mess that you're in. I know the heartache, the heartbreak of the human race. And in order to show you how much that I love you, I'm going to come down and experience the human existence. Of all the different religions, have you ever heard of a religion that's ever done that? That the God of creation would come down to be able to experience the hurt and the brokenness of what he has created? God says it's always been this way. I am that I am. In the beginning was the Word. Meaning Jesus has always been. There's never been a time that Jesus has not existed. Jesus coming on Christmas was the fulfillment of God's word to his creation. The time is coming. The age is coming. When I will send a Messiah, the Savior. I'm coming to you. And all of the prophets watched on. They read. They studied one another. They listened to the voice of God. The preaching of God's word went out to the rabbis, to all who would hear, but few would proclaim. Oh, I got something good here. I know God loves me. But you see, if I start sharing that love with this world out here, if I start sharing that world with the Gentiles, who are the Gentiles? Anybody that's not a Jew. It's not Jewish, it's a Gentile. Therefore, God's chosen sinned against God in refusing to express God's love to whosoever will. And at that beginning of time, the rebellion of the heart of man flourished. Even in the Garden of Eden. How much better do you want it than the Garden of Eden? Man decided to go his own way. And man has been going his own way ever since. And God's been coming to express his love to us ever since. And he kept saying, the Savior is coming. Oh, he looked at our generation, the church age. And he said, oh, how blessed you're going to be. Christmas is coming. Ring the bells of glory. Lift your voices to the heavens, for the King is coming. And when he comes, he will reveal unto you who I am. And whosoever calls on his name will be saved. And whoever is saved will always be with me. Merry Christmas. Woo! Think of that one. I belong to Jesus. And this world cannot take me away from him. I'm his. I can get all screwed up in the mind. Any of you ever been screwed up in the mind? Any of you ever been to where you're not screwed up in your mind? Think of that. That's the human existence. Well, it's not as though God didn't realize what was going to happen. The proof is this. He said, you got my word on this. I love you. You have my word on it. Remember when it used to be said, we'd look back in the old days, you know, a man's word was his bond. Remember those comments? Gosh, now the contracts don't even mean anything. According to what kind of an attorney you have. You know, my attorney's better than your attorney, so we'll break that contract. Whatever happened to a man's word? And then they said, well, all it would take would be a handshake. A man's word does not need a handshake. My word to you, your word to me, mankind, your word. Okay, I promise you I'm going to do this. I promised a mother something, and I'm keeping my promise on my mother. But it is the promise. So my word is my heart, is it not? Is it not? And God says, you have my word on it, Larry. God does not have to prove himself to me, nor does he have to prove himself to you. Because you see, he already has. You and I are so blessed. We're spoiled rotten. Every time I mess up, I got a God that's there saying, I love you, Larry. Lord, how long can you keep his love up? Forever and ever and ever. You got my word on it, Larry. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he says, now listen, I'm coming in the flesh. I'm coming because I gave you my word that I was going to guarantee where I am, you will be also. And I'm going to bless that generation. That's our generation. That's the church age. That great blessing came in the manger. You got it? At the birth of Jesus Christ, the ultimate of hope was delivered to us. God's word. In the flesh. You see, he said, I give you my word. Oh, I'm coming. And he came. And he stayed. He stayed right in my heart. He stayed right in your heart. Now he, we saw physically leave. But then he said, okay, I'm leaving. I've got to. because I have to fulfill it all. But don't you worry, I'm sending you the Comforter, God's Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Folks, you're loaded with love. Loaded. No wonder Satan is frightened. No wonder his followers are so scared about the name Jesus or the symbolism of the cross. Good gracious, when they get so scared because they think Christmas tree and Santa Claus represents Christ, those people are losing their mind. Now, I'll admit, Santa Claus is a Christian. But you see, anything to where Christ is used, his name is hated in a world that does not want to accept God's love. They want to accept their own individual rule. We're living in a human race to where the human race wants to be their own God. And so many believe that. They're so intent on that path straight to hell, they call themselves God. I'll pull myself up by my bootstraps. I am my own man. Really? You gonna turn another page over? How many volumes you got on the shelf right now? I'm straightening this out. No, you won't. Not till the point you commit to Christ. Lord, I cannot handle this. I trust in your word. And when you do that, it goes right back to what we talk about, Brother Randy. God says, I got you. I got you. No wonder Satan's all messed up. I mean, he has been kicked out of heaven. He's been whipped in every fight he gets in. And he's angry. He can't touch Jesus. But for some reason through eternity that we won't understand till we get there, God has allowed him to tempt us through the physical nature. But then he gave us a way out. Yeah, you want to make the devil flee? You don't stand toe-to-toe with him. You do not do that. He knows more about your weakness than you do. God said, resist him and he will turn from you. Resist him. Fight him. Okay, this is straight from the heart of a Marine. There comes a point to where you turn and you run. Now, you got to be smart somewhere along the line. You've already stood toe-to-toe with him. That didn't work, did it? Turn. That's to resist. You're resisting what's looking good over there. I mean, that's like, you know, putting a whole platter of peanut butter fudge in front of me. And someone saying, don't go to that peanut butter fudge. And I will make up in my mind every reason in the world that I should go there. And if I don't watch it, I'll get there one way or the other, crawling on the floor to get that peace. You see, that's what life is. But the Lord said, the best thing for you to do, Larry, you see that big thing of peanut butter fudge? You turn and you run. Surely I could have picked a better analogy than that. You turn and you run. What's my problem? I don't want to run. Now, Lord, I know what you're saying, but do you realize how good that stuff is? And God looks at us and says, that's a trick, Larry. I bet they told you it didn't have any calories either. And those of you who fix it for me, I think that's exactly what you all told me. But God said, I want you to pay attention now. I'm going to love you. Now, Larry, I know you're going to eat that whole thing. But I want you to know this. I warned you. When you get sick and fatter, I warned you. But I still love you. I love you, Larry Pete. I'm going to love you throughout eternity. Peanut butter fudge and all. Because here's what it's all about. You ready? Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 14. The Word became flesh. That's baby Jesus in the manger. And made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory. The glory of the one and only. Now listen. Here's where Jesus came from. Who came from the Father. Remember, Jesus says, you were born here, born of man. I came from my Father, and I will return to my Father. I came from the dust, I shall return to the dust. Jesus said, I've come down for you, full of grace and truth. You got my word on it. Larry, I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't have to question the truth. Don't you just find yourself hurting sometimes on the inside? I mean, haven't you ever been just miserable and you don't even know why you're miserable? Now, that's miserable. But you don't know why. And you say, well, I don't really know why I feel this way. You ever been there? But I feel this way. What do I do? Folks, you got to go to the great physician. Our minds can get all messed up, and it doesn't take combat to do it. We get all messed up in the mind, and we forget our promise. It's one thing for me to forget my promise I've made to God or made to others, but the greatest blessing that I have in my life is to know that God will never forget His promise to me. I don't care how rough it gets. I don't care how you hurt on the inside. All Jesus says is, talk to me about it. The greatest counselor you have is already paid for. He can make a difference in your life if you will allow Him to do that. The greatest problems I have with child abuse out of our criminal justice system is this time of year. Now, as we notice, it's going almost daily in our community where children are beaten and murdered, one just out of Louisville. 2-year-old. The evil is so rampant. What can I do about it? I can tell God on them. Now, until you've seen God work out situations like that, listen, folks, it's been many times that it was shouting time for me, and I didn't have a thing to do with straightening that mess out. I knew it was God. And when God straightens it out, I can assure you that those who do any harm to children would have given anything had it been me or some other individual, human being, that straightened it out. Because God takes it personal. But you see, you and I are His children also. He looks at us as children. When I'm telling you to read the Gospel of John, now this is John the Beloved. You want to read the book of Revelation, same John. You know what John says to us? My little children. Yeah, I don't feel really childlike anymore at my age. But John called me a child. Jesus says that it hasn't even begun yet. It will be begun pretty soon. You and I so often look at crossing over as such a sad time. I got news for you. It's not. For those that have gone on, you will see. And the rest of us aren't far behind. I don't know whether you all noticed or not, but in this left vestibule over here, where Don is standing there, you'll see a picture is hanging on that wall of 1922. As the members of Vingrove Baptist Church. Whole crew of them standing in front of the old church. And this morning I was in there and I decided to really look at those men, women, and children that are in that picture. And the first thing I noticed was, why aren't any of these people grinning? There's the blank look on everyone's face. And most pictures in that era were that way. You didn't smile. Oh gosh, now people stick their tongue out and do everything else when they're doing it. But the more I was looking at it, I noticed something. 1922, the majority of those little children are dead. And all the adults are dead because they were adults in 1922. Think of it. So that whole generation is gone. It's gone. And knowing that, I know God's word when he says, you and I are generational. I'm coming. That's the new generation. That's the church age. And by the way, it's the last age prior to the judgment of Christ. God's final judgment. It's the church age. You're in it. And it began 2,000 years ago. And it's been ending ever since it began. The end times. God has told us how much he loves us. Through all of the worry and through all of this other stuff that you may have, here's what I want to leave you with. God says, I love you. You will be with me. You have my word on it. What more do I need? What more do I want? Because when I leave here thinking, oh, you know, it just breaks my heart to leave earth, I haven't seen heaven yet. I've read a lot about it. But you see, I keep wanting to hold on to what I know and what I see. And yet, the one who said you have my word on it has told me that we haven't witnessed, seen, thought of, or has it ever entered our mind how great it's going to be the day we step over. Oh, what a step. Neil Armstrong got nothing on us, does he? No, he don't. No, because I get to see you, Miss Lovell, each one of us, as we are, created by the love of God in love, and we'll even be lovable with each other. Can you imagine that husband or wife beside of you eventually once again is going to be lovable? It's amazing, isn't it? Enjoy your life, folks. But do something with it. Because one day there could be a picture hanging up of your whole family and someone saying, you know, every one of them are gone. Now, what did they leave when they left earth? Only thing I have to leave that's meaningful is love. And I promise you this, your pastor loves you and cares. And I adore your children. I adore them more than I adore you. Because they're closer to the purity of who God is. Let the Lord speak to you with that promise. Because it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise your name, thanking you for the love and the joy of your salvation. Help us, Father, as each of us seek to grow in your love and in your truth. Oh, there's so many hurting now, Father, I know that. So many are broken from within and they're seeking answers that you've laid before them since the beginning of time. Help each one, Father, to look in the right direction for the answer they seek, as they will find that joy and the peace that surpasses all understanding. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.